This is the Lifting Standards Podcast with your host, Dalton Nicholas, a fitness professional with a new age view on the health and fitness lifestyle. Enjoy. And welcome back. Thank you for joining me again. And if this is your first time tuning into the podcast, I appreciate you giving me a chance. If you stick around, there's so much more on this podcast before this episode. Filled with information, great content, a lot of good guests. We're going to be getting more guests on, so just stick around and I promise it'll be worth it. Okay, so we've got a couple of new things in the Lifting Standards studio, if you will. I have the camera going right now, so we'll be able to actually put some videos up on YouTube now that we have a nice little tripod over there. We also got a new audio interface, so hopefully you hear that my voice is a lot crisper and just overall sounds a lot better, because before we were just going straight into a USB through an aux like converter thing, and you can tell I'm very tech educated through the podcast stuff, but it took a while, but we're here and I'm super excited about it. I'm honestly super excited to just be back on a podcast because it's been about a week since I've done one. Just any of the topics that I've had, or maybe the guests had just, we haven't been able to schedule a meetup or a time to talk. So with the topics that I was going to do by myself, I wasn't really like passionate about or like very into. So I didn't think it was going to be a good episode. So I waited until I found a topic that I really wanted to talk about. And that brings me to today's topic: how to become a successful personal trainer. And what are some of the things you're going to have to do? So, I am a beginner, entry-level to intermediate-level trainer. But over the last couple of months, I've kind of had a very high rate of growth, if you would say. Yeah, I've had a very high rate of growth in my own personal brand, such as Lifting Standards, with a bunch of new things coming out, like the podcast, just all the content that I've been putting out. This has been doing very well. My own in-person training, that has been skyrocketing because I've been doing some new things and kind of just taking the wheel. So these are the things that I have been noticing that I need to be doing daily in order to get success in my life. So I'm going to tell you about these four things that I think are like the big reasons why I'm seeing this success recently in my life. Number one, passion. We're going to talk about that. Second off, consistency. Third off, patience. And fourth and final, we're going to talk about empathy and caring. So let's dive in. Okay, number one, passion. If you don't have passion for what you're doing, I honestly believe you're either not going to be successful or you're not going to be happy. So why would you even waste your time? So you really need to be passionate about whatever you're doing. Specifically to training, you need to be passionate because you need to know why you're doing it. Because every day you're affecting people's lives. So if you're not passionate about it, you're really going to just be taking away from them. And that's not cool. So knowing your why is a huge factor to your passion level. So always do a little self-evaluation whenever you're getting into something new, specifically training, like why you want to do training or why you want to help this specific person that you're training. All of this is huge. Another thing that I want to talk about for passion is this: just having a nice passion for your training is going to help you grow more, like personal self-growth. That is huge. The fitness industry is always growing and changing every other day. There's a new study of this, new study of that, new type of training this week, new type of training that week. You have to stay up on it because the public wants the new and flashy thing. And maybe it's not like the best thing for them, but if you're just stuck in the Stone Age doing like old school compound lifts and that's it, like you're going to get left in the dust. So if you want to be successful, you need to stay up on your self-growth and, more importantly, your continuing ed after you get your certification or your degree or whatever you're going for. That is huge. Next, pushing through the tough times. So your passion, the level of passion you have is going to like strictly correlate to how you get out of the hole that you're in, or whatever bad times you find yourself in while you're training. So for me personally, the bad times were I just got my certification maybe like 5 months after I got my certification. I was still working like a retail job. I was managing a GNC. So I was doing a very like, what's the word? I was doing very mind-numbing work and not very satisfying. It wasn't very satisfying to me. So for myself, I wasn't happy because I wasn't really passionate about hitting sales goals or trying to sell this many of that product or just be hitting monetary goals. Like, I want to touch people's lives. You know what I mean? I want to be able to say that I helped this many people in my own life at the end of it. So that passion that I had, so that was really tough. I was working like 40 hours a week by myself. Not good. Basically, after that, that was bad times. And then even after that, right when I first got into personal training, that was pretty bad too, because that's a slap in the face right when you walk into a gym. You're not as confident as you obviously will grow to be. You're very kind of very skittish when you first get there. You don't know. For me, I didn't know a lot of people. I went from a different town from where I was working at GNC, and then I went from a different town and then also a different gym. So I've never stepped foot in this gym before when I went in there for the interview. And let me tell you, it was a very different. I went to a very corporate and young, lively gym before I went to the place that I'm working at now, Berkshire West. And Berkshire West is a tennis, like, full athletic club with a full set of classes, a full spa upstairs, a pool in the back. It's a very upper class, high class gym. And myself, I'm not a very upper or high class style of person. I think 90% of my wardrobe is sweatpants. So I instantly just kind of felt like I didn't fit in, as well as the other trainers who are there. Absolutely love all of you guys, but you are all very intimidating right at first, because your clientele that you have, like your base of clients, was huge. And I just couldn't comprehend how would someone get to that. You know what I mean? Especially walking in there with no clientele of my own at the time. I was starting from scratch. So my passion is what got me through that hard time. And to be honest with you, it was about a year. Like, I was gaining a little bit of traction, and then I left for Denver. So I didn't really, I was kind of half in there, half out of there. You know what I mean? So for the first 6 months I was there, I got a couple clients, and I continued my own self-education at the time, but it wasn't really anything focused on progressing my career through them, to be completely blunt and honest. And then the next 6 months after that is when I definitely knew I was going to Denver, so I was just checked out mentally. So that wasn't really the best point in my career. It's probably like my lowest point, but my passion is what kept getting me through it. Because even though I had like two or three, I just realized, I'm saying like 1,000 times, I'm going to try to stop that. Also, I realized that with my three clients or so that I had, I was making a huge difference. Like, oh, I just did it again. A ginormous difference in their life. And even though it was only a couple clients, the feeling of that, it drove me to want to do more. It drove me to want to be able to go up and beyond any of the things I was doing at the time. I wanted to make sure that these three clients that I had got the best Dalton that they could get. So I did a little bit more research on each one of their situations. And honestly, I love those two clients. My first two clients, I will always remember you two. And I know that we still have good relationships, even though I'm not still training them now. But I know that I will always have good rapport with them because of the work that we did early on. So my passion drove me through those hard times. And then the next thing I want to talk about for your own passion is just trying different things. So when I was at GNC, like at the beginning of it, I was very passionate, but then towards the end, I lost my passion for it. And that's okay. You're going to try things that you aren't passionate for. You just need to have the self-awareness to make the leap out of that situation. So if you're working a retail job, working a fast food job, working any sort of crappy job. Yeah. Any job that you don't like is going to be a crappy job. I don't care if you're making $100,000 being an accountant. If you do not like it or are passionate or not passionate about it, it's a crappy job. To you, at least. Who cares about other people's opinions? If I was making $100,000 for scrubbing toilets, I would not be happy. That was not something I am passionate about. I do not like toilets at all. There is no way that I would be happy with that job. At least with my own like idea of what myself is worth. You know what I mean? I'd much rather make $40,000 being a personal trainer and then also changing lives rather than $100,000 scrubbing toilets and changing toilet paper. You feel me? All right. So that's what I mean by trying different things. I personally have found personal training and life coaching and putting out all this content to try to reach as much of a population as I can. And this is what I am super passionate about right now. I love all of the things I'm doing at the moment. And I'm not saying that this will be what I do forever, because who knows, but I know that when I'm honest with myself, that this is something that I absolutely love for sure. And that will let, just to tie up passion, that's kind of what I'm talking about. This trusting yourself is what I mean when I say like make that leap, because leaving a full-time job for a part-time job or something that you don't have like guaranteed money in is super hard to do. And it's scary. Change is scary for everyone, but you just got to trust yourself. No matter what you do, just don't burn any bridges. Don't leave. I've done it. It's not good. It's not a good feeling afterwards, knowing that you can't go back there for the way you left. And it just goes to show that whenever you need to make a leap or something like that, if you don't burn the bridge, you can always go back to it if the other side doesn't work out. When I left for Denver, I left Berkshire West on good terms. And then when I came back, I was able to return because I wasn't an a-hole when I left. So that is passion for you. Those are just a couple of, that's just the tip of the iceberg for passion. Obviously, I could go on probably for a whole freaking podcast for it, but I don't want to do that. Next up, we had consistency. Let's dive in, because this is huge. I have issues with it. I think everybody will go through a phase where they have issues with it, but consistency, like definition from me, constant grinding. You need to grind at whatever you're doing every single day. Whatever your goals are, whatever your career is, whatever your passion is, you need to grind at that every single day. Man. I'm going to say it again. Grind at it every single goddamn day. Like, you need to take your own career or passion and, like, build it up with your own hands. Because, like, there's no better feeling than seeing something that you babied and nurtured grow into something that is helping others or something that is doing well monetarily wise. That is the best feeling in the world. So I really hope that everyone gets to feel that someday, even if it's just on a small scale. I'm not huge. I'm not big time whatsoever. The amount of progress I've made in the last 3 months, it's I'm on cloud nine. I am on cloud nine, honestly, just whenever I start to think about all the stuff that I'm doing. And it's not really bragging. It's just like self-realizing that I have done something with what I wanted to do. Like, I set a goal and I've done something with that goal. So it's good to feel that way. That's why whenever I do any of my coaching with like life coaching clients, I always bring up the fact that you want to set small goals and you want to set the idea, small goals, and you want to set the idea behind the behavior. You don't want to be focused on the weight number. You want to focus the, hey, like you meal prep for the whole week. I've already got a podcast on that. I don't remember which number, but there's not that many. You could go listen to all of them. It will be no big deal. So back to consistency. If you're consistent, this is what it means. You're not going to quit when it gets hard, and nobody's perfect. So I will tell you, I quit sometimes when it gets hard, but I also come back to it. It's not a permanent quit. So just getting up when you fall is just huge with consistency. Like, I want to be consistent on this platform for myself. And sometimes I miss a week for my podcast. Sue me. I'm not perfect. I am trying to be a person where you can go to for lifestyle change advice, training advice, nutrition advice, even though I don't look like the guy to go for nutrition advice. I've kind of done everything except for get super shredded, but I did lose a bunch of weight, so I think I still tick that box a little bit. And I think even though I binge eat or eat unhealthy at times, I think my relationship with food has grown over the last 4 years, and my body image has also like improved greatly. And those are kind of tough things to talk about for most people. But honestly, that those are the types of things that have to continually be talked about to make it less taboo to talk about for everyone, males and females. And I think that consistency with either training or learning about nutrition or learning about like where I should be body-wise, all of this helps with my own body image, of course, but my own self-worth. I think of myself very highly, and I just want everyone to do that. So I think through consistency, you will find that not only will your business grow or your passion grow, but your own self-worth will grow. You'll realize that, like, hey, you put a goal out to post this many free content things out online, or you put a goal to, hey, let's not buy any gadgets this week and save this much money, and you did that. Like, you'll feel good about all those things that you consistently do, and those basically goals, once you hit those, you're just going to feel good about yourself, and you'll value yourself a little bit more. And through consistency, you want to give it all you can. Honestly, I keep comparing this to my own situation, but I think this is just a good way to hit each topic that I'm talking about for each big four segments that we're talking about. Giving it all you can. I'm trying to hit every platform, and I'm trying to talk to everybody at work. I'm trying to meet everyone I can at the gym. I'm trying to learn everything I can about training, and I'm trying to continually grow. So that's what it means by like giving it your all. So if you're in like a different situation, like giving it your all at school, giving it your all on every homework or test, making sure that you are already set up for the next semester. And if you're at work, making sure you're getting the reports in by Friday, making sure that you're showing up on time, making sure that you present yourself well. These are all things that consistency will, like, you need to be consistent with, is what I mean. And if you give your all at all of them, I am sure that your life will hit an uprise for sure. Let's see. Yeah, constant. For personal trainers specifically, constant evolution of self and training styles as well. Not just constantly evolving yourself as in like getting smarter or getting better at whatever you do. You need to get better at training people. You know what I mean? So just because you can bench 315 for 10 doesn't mean that you are now the bench guru. You know, everyone's different. And I think you just need to get... you need to try something new with every single person you work with, because what works for A won't work for B and won't work for C and won't work for D. And that's also something that happened at the very beginning of my training career, is that I realized that you can't do like cookie cutter programs, or like this core workout won't work for every individual, and you need to learn a little bit about each individual before you can even do a program for them, because they could have something that you don't even know, as in an injury or as in a like muscle impingement or some sort of reason why they can't do your workout when it really should be their workout. So that's something to mention for sure as well. And then I just lastly have not quitting when it gets hard, because you think it's easy to put yourself out there all the time. You know, it's not. I'll be the first one to tell you it's not. If I go into work in the morning and I'm outgoing and talk to everyone, when I leave, I am smacked. I am drained. It's not easy, especially like depending on the type of personality you have. I go into work, and if I'm all happy, cheery from 8 in the morning until 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I leave, I am exhausted. I don't want to work out. I want to go home and be a hermit crab. I am the most unsocial person you will meet. But seeing as my job and my lifestyle calls for me to be social, I will do that. But in my free time, I'm not at the bar or at the club or hanging out at mad people's houses. I am like doing my stuff. This is what I like to do in my free time. So that is what I mean. So like that's hard for me. So whatever it may be in your situation, you should identify that and realize that you can't quit just because it's getting hard. Like if your boss wants you to work a couple extra hours this week, realize that, hey, like maybe change your outlook on that. You get to work those hours and you get to earn that extra money. And maybe you're on his good side a little bit now because you did him a solid and it might get you somewhere further in the future. Or in school, if you're upset that you have this many papers, like, hey man, everybody in the world doesn't get to go to college. Like maybe take advantage of that. I'm not like coming down on you, but you're paying for that schooling. You know, that sucks. I understand college is not always fun and like flashy lights. But once you get out of there, you're going to have the knowledge to be able to do whatever you're passionate about if you correctly picked the right major and whatever you wanted to do. So just try to put a little twist on things instead of being so negative about them all the time. Try to be positive about whatever your situation is, and that'll help you not quit when everything gets hard. All right. That was consistency. Let's smash patience, because let me tell you, patience is such an issue for everyone, basically. Got road rage. I do all the time. No patience on the road. That's me. But in life, I've kind of, not even on purpose, I've had to develop patience. So through training, you're not going to be the number one trainer at your gym as soon as you get there. Not going to happen. Nope. Sorry. You're not going to do that. You need to realize that you are at the bottom of the totem pole and you need to grind your way up. It is the most humbling experience to do that. Especially, I come from a small school, and to be honest with myself, there's a couple people there that would be smarter than me or like more advanced in the training than me that I thought. But I definitely put myself pretty high up there in the class. And as soon as I left the college, it was pretty obvious that I don't know shit. I don't know jack compared to, so I went to a 2-year college, and someone who is Tuan, he is, I think 30. I don't really want to say his age because he's, he looks young and, he's Tuan. So Tuan is an absolute genius, like exercise corrective exercise specialist. He's however old he is. I know he's a decent amount of time out of college. I don't want him to hit me for that. But he still knows everything. Like anatomical terms, like every muscle. He still knows all of that. Things that I thought that you would lose after a little bit out of college. And the exercise corrective exercise specialist, that is the thing that got me the most, because whenever I would have an issue, I would just go to him and he would have a fix for me without having to look anything up. That's impressive, especially like when I'm coming to you, someone who went to school for it as well, less schooling, of course, and he has more experience, obviously. But for someone to be able to fix it at the snap or the drop of a dime, it was incredible to me, but it was also super scary. I was like, wow, I need to step my goddamn game up, because I am nowhere near that man. I'm still nowhere near that man, but it definitely, him being in my life circle definitely has pushed me to become better. So the patience thing, right at the beginning when you go to a gym, you're not going to be number one, and that was a huge like humbling experience for me. So that's why, like I said before, patience and consistency. So I consistently nag him or talk to him. He doesn't see it as nagging. I was just saying that because I feel that way. But he always helps me and always teaches me new things whenever I ask. And I think through the consistency of that, me always asking, and the passion. So the passion is what drives that consistency, and the patience is just realizing I'm not going to be on his level at the age of 22, because he's been doing this for a hot minute. So that's where patience comes in for training. And you just got to realize slow growth is normal, and you just got to, I think slow growth is the best thing ever because you appreciate all the small victories even more. Like I told, like I've said in the beginning or earlier in the podcast, I've, lifting standards came out in 2016, the end of 2016, but 2016, it's 2019. It's been a fucking grind. It has been a goddamn grind for a while now. And I'm just kind of getting off the ground. And I got off the ground right when I first started it, but then I lost the passion and I lost the consistency. I didn't have patience. And let me tell you, I appreciate the fuck out of all of the stuff that I'm doing right now. And it's great. I love it. But that came with patience. And being patient makes it so you're not, at least in the gym, it'll make it so you don't seem fake or like money hungry to all the clients or your coworkers. And saying that brings me to the fact that if you're money hungry or if you're expecting like a super quick growth, you're going to be pretty like aggressive and it'll just seem fake to most people. And like clients can tell, man, clients can sniff it out. You know, it's not like, oh, I said like again a couple of times. It's not as if clients aren't people. Those are people that you're dealing with. And when you are dealing with people, they have a sense just like you do. They have a brain just like you do. And they know when you're trying to help and when you're trying to just take their money. And if you're just trying to take everyone's money, you're in the wrong career, first of all. But they're not going to respond to that nearly as well as if you genuinely care. And that brings me to another point where they always say, don't give yourself away for free. And I will give credit to Regine for this because she kind of brought this up, but that is absolute bullshit. You need to give yourself, you need to give the client some taste. They need to know that you actually care before they want to work with you. I'm not saying write a full program for someone, but hey, you see someone working on their hip, give them some hip mobility work. Hey, give them some strength, hip strengthening work. Give them someone working on their shoulder, show them some rotator cuff work. You know what I mean? Just give. I think this is a Gary Vee thing. Oh, who told me that today? But give, and then ask. And I'm not saying you have to give 1,000 times to the same person. Give to different people throughout the gym, and then they know that you're a wholesome person, and then it just is, it's a wrap after that, especially in training. If you're just a giver in training, yes, there's a point where you have to mark out the line, but if you're a giver, people will respect you and they will come to you for your services before you even have to draw the line, most likely, because I haven't had to draw it yet. And I'm doing pretty well, I think. But I've seen people who don't draw the line, and it's more or less your personality type than it is the clients, because you need to actually, like, the only people that I see who kind of give too much away for free, it's because they're kind of fooling around a little bit too much. You need to kind of have a professional feel about yourself in the training business. And people who are too friendly with people and kind of make it like they're friend zoned, that is when you should have drawn the line of a long time ago, and that opportunity for you to have them as a client is probably gone already. So just move on, change your system and scheme, and then I think you'll do better. As we were just talking about, the fact that if you are not fake, this will make you develop a better relationship with your current clients and also your coworkers, because you need a good rapport with your coworkers. And I will give you a prime example of why, because I have a good rapport with Regine and Tuan, and if they go on vacation, they give me their clients or let me train some of their clients. Or the fact that I have a good rapport with them, if they don't have time for a client, maybe they'll send them my way. It's a big family for the trainers in the fitness department at where I work. We're all like a big family. It's awesome. I think it's the most supportive group of people I've ever met in training, because everywhere else, everyone seems to be like chomping at the bit to be able to make money. And the place I'm at, honestly, it's the exact opposite. Everyone is just so caring and giving. And I think all of these traits apply to all of the trainers there. But it's awesome. So that's why you need to develop good relationships with your coworkers as well, and that's how the patience relates to it. Because if you're giving off that fake vibe and you're like aggressive and you very want like a quick come up, then you're gonna come off wrong to those coworkers as well. And at the end of the day, you could be doing everything right, and it's just not your time. You could be doing every single little thing right, and you just need to wait for things to fall into place, because that's what it takes sometimes. This world is not perfect. Clearly, no one is perfect. And just because you're doing everything perfectly doesn't mean the situation outside of what you're doing is going to develop perfectly. So you just need to be okay with that, continue to grow and grind, and eventually your time will come for sure. That wraps up patience. I like this podcast. This podcast is going well. Let's move on to empathy and caring. I put both of them in there because I truly think that they're both a little different, as obviously their definition, but I put them both in there because they're super important, but they both correlate to each other. So empathy, being able to step into someone's shoes as a trainer and in life, but just a couple things for trainers that'll help with your programming for that person. Okay, I was extremely overweight. I was the fat kid in high school. I've dealt with that. I've dealt with the emotions that come with that. I've dealt with the physical struggles, like tying your shoes or putting socks on or showering or chafing. I've dealt with all of that. All of it sucks. So I am more able, and honestly, it's more convincing if I am trying to be empathetic with an overweight person, because I can show them, and also I know the struggle, so I can talk about it with them. And that alone will push our rapport, our relationship, so much farther right off the rip, or right at the beginning, that if you are a low body fat trainer who's never been overweight, you might have a hard time with that. You could still be empathetic and try to step into their shoes, but you won't know for sure how it feels, you know? So there's going to be clients for you, and there's going to not be clients that you shouldn't train. At a certain level, you'll be able to say no. But right now, if you're at the beginning or entry or intermediate, you probably should be saying yes to everyone. But if you are that low body comp trainer, maybe you should have a longer orientation or first talk with that person just to understand a little bit more. And they'll see that you're trying to go the extra mile with them, and notice that you actually care, and that'll just help build your rapport and even like your clientele relations, like retention wise. So that's another thing that it's good at building with empathy, is good at building client retention, as well as like the programming. So maybe, oh, that's what I was talking from before. Seeing as I was overweight, I understand that, hey, maybe lunges, not the best thing for someone who's overweight, a lot of knee pain. Maybe we'll just do a split squat and see how that goes. Or maybe we'll work on quads a different way, like leg extension, even though those things are awful, or quad pumps or whatever it may be, depending on their actual situation. But programming, if you are empathetic, it's going to do you wonders for programming. It's going to do you wonders for rapport building. So people see that you're empathetic or caring. They're going to make sure that you know where they're coming from. And if you can make sure that they know that you know, that was a word, tongue twister. But if you both communicate and you're like linking or clicking, your whole time together is just going to be better. They're going to get more progress out of it. You're going to have a better time training them. So really, you just got to focus on building that relationship, whatever it may be, whatever personality you may have that you need to implement for them. That just being empathetic is a huge way to figure it out what you need to be. But also, it's going to help you throughout the entire relationship, not just at the beginning. And speaking of beginnings, once you first get into the training game, empathy and caring are both going to help your client base stupendously. I have had so many conversations with complete strangers about their own situations, and everyone is just looking for someone to talk to. Everyone. Every single person wants someone to actively listen and not just speak, because I have maybe in all of these conversations, I've maybe said one or two probing sentences the entire time, and I just let them go. And then I give them my advice at the end. And that is the best advice I can give to any trainer, is you need to be actively listening to them and not just waiting to offer them the package at the end. You know, people want to know that you actually care about them and you actually care about their life and their story. And the thing that I am bad at is I tend to forget names because I'm so focused on the story. Like, I won't know the person's name, but I know that they spin at 5 o'clock Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they come down here and do arms before each class. But I can't remember that person's name ever. So I'll be asking around the gym whenever they leave, hey, what was her name? Oh, yes, I know. Now I know. Cool. So that is just a huge thing for client building, because once people know you care and realize that you are actually actively trying to listen to their situation, they're more willing to talk to you. Also, with the empathy and the caring, you're just going to feel more rewarded, and then that'll drive your passion even more. So when you truly care about the person, you're going to put a little bit more extra effort into your programming or your session or their nutrition plan or whatever it may be, and that person's going to gain more out of it. And if they see you care, they're realizing, hey, maybe I should care. Like, if they care this much about how I'm doing, maybe I should start caring about how I'm doing and do better in this program and do better for myself. This is such a huge thing for old trainers. People who have been in the game a long time, I think you need to re-shock or re-amplify your own empathy and caring card if it needs it, and start fucking caring again. Because just because you've been in the game for a long time doesn't mean that this new person has the same ideas that you do. And not to be attacking, but I think once you do anything for a long time, you may need that wake-up call. So there you go, wake-up call. Start caring more if you need to, and start being more empathetic, like you were right when you first started training. Man, this is going good. All right, so also showing that you truly care about the person, it'll make it so they're loyal to you. Not that they're your pet or anything, but I mean, the clients that you get will stay with you longer, or even recommend you to people if you show that you truly care. And that's a huge thing for training, for sure. If you don't know, word of mouth is probably the best thing for training. Instagram ads can only go so far, and Facebook ads and whatever else type of ads you want to do. Anything else is not really worth your time anymore, but we'll talk about that another time. All those ads will only get you so far, and word of mouth, the success rate of word of mouth is a lot higher than any ad I've ever seen. Because if I hear my brother, who I've grown up with and I've eaten all the same food as him, and I know he has good taste in food, if he tells me that this restaurant has the best potato skins and wings he's ever had, I'm going to that restaurant within the next hour. Even if I look up online and it has 30,000 bad reviews, my brother said that food is good, I'm going to get that food. Same thing with training. So it's the very same thing. That idea is exactly what I'm talking about for building rapport through empathy and caring with your clients. And the word of mouth is really going to do your entire self, business, and clientele a lot. So really focus on, even if you're not training them, like I said, I have conversations with so many people every week. You need to be able to have nice conversations with people without having the idea that you need to get money from them. And that way, someday, if they hear your name again, they'll be like, oh yeah, I talked to him. I had a really nice conversation. Maybe I will try to train with him. And that is empathy. So those were the four segments. And now it's closing time. Closing time. I don't know the rest of the words, but I got some information. That was so corny. I apologize to everybody who's listening to that. So I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about. I already talked about the new equipment that we've got in, or that new tripod. So I'm going to be posting the videos on YouTube as well. I'm also launching Lifting Standards, the website, soon. I don't have a date yet. Probably by the next podcast, it'll either be out or I will have a date at least for you to look. I have a bunch of things on there. So the things that I want to talk about most, it's going to be like a hub for everything. I'm going to be putting like testimonials of people who I've worked with. I'm going to be putting a little about us section about what this whole website and what Lifting Standards is. I've got some gear for people to rock, simply because people have been asking for it again. I used to do it a while ago, back in 2016. We're starting that back up again with a little bit more of a smoother operating system. So you'll be able to just order offline. You won't have to get the clothes out of the back of my trunk like when I first started. You can just order offline and it'll get shipped right to you in a timely fashion. Also, I'm offering online coaching on there. So like I said, give, and then ask. I'm not asking you to do any of this stuff. I'm just telling you that it's out there, simply because if you're on my podcast, I'm guessing you would like to know what other things I am doing as a company and as a person. So that is, I'm doing the gear on there. I'm also doing online coaching. I have one more spot available for the $100 a month, and then the prices will jump up a little bit to keep up with the supply and demand. There's three types of training on the website at the moment. There is the basic, there is premium, and there is athlete. Whatever fits you is what I would go with. I'm also going to be posting the podcast up on the website, and the homepage will be filled with things that I think you guys would like, depending on what content has gone out. So maybe clips of the podcast, best guests of the podcast, or even like a place for you to put in questions or things like that. I'm not 100% sure on what the final version of the website will be going out, but it will be liftingstandards.com, and you should be able to expect that in a couple months. Also, if you haven't been on my Instagram page in a while, I do free workouts on there, and I also hold polls and open-ended questions for you to fill in what kind of workout you would like to see on there. I do about 2 a week. I might be pushing it to 3, seeing how everything goes. But if you want to vote or want to get like a free workout from me, it's just one workout like chest or back or plyometrics, whatever it may be, you can go over to Lifting Standards Training, and whenever I do my stories, that is where you would find it. Also, if you want to stay connected even more, Lifting Standards on Facebook, I do post the same stories on the Facebook as well. All right. So that concludes the podcast. I feel really great about this one. Thank you all for still listening all the way to this point. I realized that last little bit of it was advertising-isk, but I truly just want to be able to reach as many people as possible. So I want you to be connected with me on every platform possible. Thank you again. The next episode will be a surprise, and we don't know when it's coming out yet. But thank you so much. If you liked the episode, smack that subscribe button, whether you're on YouTube or if you are on the podcast app. I will see you next time. Peace.